We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Refresh radio broadcast, and we want to thank you for allowing us to speak the Word of God into your life. We have just been rejoicing in the Lord here, and this week I'm away celebrating a special anniversary in my parents' life, and so doing these broadcasts, but I'm also enjoying some family time and refreshing myself. So we want to go to the Word today, Acts chapter 11. We do want to invite you out to Merit Assembly of God this Sunday. We have a guest speaker that is going to be filling in for me, and so let me tell you, Merit Assembly of God existed before I came, and should the Lord tarry, Merit Assembly of God will function after I came. It is not about me. It is about the presence of the Lord. And here, it'll be two Sundays ago from this coming Sunday, I was preaching on healing, and a nurse that we have in our congregation, she had been battling some complications from surgery, and she came up to me after the service and said, when I got up this morning, my hands were on fire. They were inflamed. They were sore. I couldn't move them. And after this service this morning, or during the service, God touched my hands, and I can now function. The heat is gone. The inflammation, the soreness, the pain is gone. And I got a report, an update since then. And things are still not what they had been prior to that service, and we give the glory for God. So we're thankful that God is still alive and He is still in the healing business. So we do want to invite you to come out. We only have Sunday night service. This is Happy Father's Day, so this is my chance to wish you men Happy Father's Day. We are going to have a men's banquet, but that's not going to be this weekend. It's going to be next weekend, when I am in town, to be able to honor the men properly. We had a ladies' banquet, and you know they have a lot of decorations and all of that sort of stuff, and that's fine, well and good. I told the men that we were going to put our resources into the food, and so we're going to be having a steak dinner for our men, and that's going to be a week from tomorrow. So, hallelujah. Now, in Acts chapter 11, that's where we're going to go today. We have spent several weeks in Acts chapter 10. Really didn't have any idea that we were going to spend that length of time. But Acts 10 sets up Acts chapter 11, because what God did, now the church has got to adjust to what God has just done. By the way, I want you to know, God is God. I'm not God. You're not God. And I tell people, I said, if you want something to thank God for, thank God that I'm not God, because He's a lot more merciful than I am. And then I also want to thank God that you're not God, because He's a lot more merciful than you are. He's holier than we are. His judgments are better than we are. And so I thank God that He is the one who is in control. And when He moves, when He acts, there's not anything or anyone that can thwart or hinder God's purpose and God's plan for His life. So when He wanted to bless Cornelius and pour the Holy Spirit out upon Cornelius and all of those that were in the house, He did it in such a manner that it would build the faith of the church. So Acts chapter 9, persecution had broken out in the church, and people were scattered, but the latter part of chapter 9, well, chapter 9 still deals with that. Chapter 9 also talks about the resurrection of Tabitha. And I believe that that was God's way of speaking to the church and says, look, even though there are some difficulties that have arisen, I'm still God. And it doesn't matter where I am geographically, I am going to move and my name is going to be glorified. His name is going to be glorified in your life. Pharaoh had an option. He could have done things God's way and responded in a favorable way to God wanting to release his people. He could have been known the same way that Cyrus was, that Pharaoh was the one who released the people and actually funded them going back into the promised land and helped them to get established. But he hardened his heart and instead wanted to hang on to what God was wanting him to let go of. Isn't that really what repentance is all about? Is this us letting go of the things that God wants us to let go of? A lack of repentance is holding on to things that God wants us to let go of. I remember hearing a story one time of a guy who he had his favorite fishing lure, and he was out and fishing, and he was using his favorite lure, and it got hung up in the brush, and it was his favorite, so he didn't want to lose it, and so he got over there and he went to grab it. He fell out of the boat, and he did manage to grab hold of his lure, but he ended up drowning in the process. And when they found him, he had hold of the lure that he just could not afford to lose. And in the process, he lost his life. That lure had no value to him anymore. I encourage you today, men, women, let's respond. When God is doing something and he's saying, I want you to let go of something, let's let go of it because it is in our best interest. Whenever God asks you to let go of something, he will always replace it with something or someone better. I want to say that again. When God asks you to release someone, and I'm not just speaking theoretically, I am talking practically here. I experientially, I've been through this. When God asks you to let go, then you are in a position that he can bless you with what he wants, and that gift will be better than before. So anyway, Acts chapter 11, let's read here for just a few verses. It says, now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, you went into uncircumcised men and ate with them. And I'm just going to tell you, Peter goes on and recounts all of the things that had happened that in Acts chapter 10, which we have dealt with. And he says in verse number 12, then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? When they had heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. And so today I want you to know that if you have a disagreement or a difference of opinion with somebody, that you and I should be able to come together in the name of the Lord, and we should be able to discuss and work out any differences that there might be. We should be able to make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so you've got to realize that all of these people who were in the church at this point in time had come out of Judaism. They were still, many of them, worshiping in the synagogue, and then they were also worshiping in the church. They were meeting in people's homes. Many of the people who had been saved had been priests and served, and so they had been trained in theology, and then they had encountered Jesus. And sometimes, I'm just going to say this, sometimes when people have an encounter with Jesus, they bring old ways of thinking into a new life that God wants them to have. I don't know if you know anybody that's ever happened to or not, but it happened here, and I know that it still happens now. The truth of the matter is that when we ask Jesus into our hearts, he wants to make us a new creation. He wants to renew our minds. He wants to allow us and develop in us a way of thinking that is in alignment with his way of thinking. You see, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Faith is a whole new lifestyle. Prior to Jesus, you lived by what you saw, what you felt, what you heard, what you deduced. You made calculations about what would be best for you, and that's the way that you did. We were selfish by nature. But when Jesus comes into our heart, it's a whole new way of life. No longer do we function just by our bank account, just by our family dynamic, our wisdom, our intellect, our degrees. That was the way that Paul functioned before the Damascus Road experience. But after his conversion, then all of a sudden he finds himself in a new classification of people, and that is the righteous, the just, the forgiven. And the Bible says that those people live by faith. And so Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so if you have always functioned from a work-based mindset, trying to earn your salvation, trying to earn other people's acceptance of you, trying to earn their recognition or their fame, a lot of people are involved in philanthropy projects simply because they are trying to raise their own profile in the community so that people will feel better about them. Listen, that's not the way that we minister to brothers and people in need in the community, in faith. We do that so that they would come to know Jesus, so that they would see Jesus and have their sins forgiven, and he would make their life better. And so they had this disagreement. I want you to understand, they didn't just let it fester. They brought it out into the open. When I first came to Merit Assembly of God, we had some old carpet in there. I don't really know how old it had been. But whenever we would vacuum, the vacuum would grab a hold of one of the threads, and before you could even stop it, it'd go, and it would just run all the way down. And so we got to a point where the gaps in between the seams of the carpet, and please understand, we came from a time where we did not have any funds at all to do anything with that. We were making the best with what we had at the time. As soon as an opportunity arose, we rectified this problem. But at that particular point in time, we had gaps in our carpet, and there was parts of it that were not stuck to the ground. I was doing a Wednesday night Bible study, and I was talking about people who do not deal with the core issues. Instead, they sweep it under the rug. And so I just happened to be over one of those seams. I reached up and I said, and so what a lot of people do is they sweep things under the rug, and then they end up having this tremendous mound. They actually end up building their own stumbling blocks. They turn molehills into mountains simply because they do not deal with the problems. The Song of Solomon says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You see, if you deal with things when they're very small, it's a lot easier to deal with them than if you wait until they become much larger. If there was a time, I'll just tell you this, I have not always been as quick to address my physical issues. In fact, still to this day, you know, there are some issues that if it's just a pain, I won't necessarily address it until it gets to the point and saying, you know, what I've been doing has not been getting this any better. And then I'll go and take a look at it, have a doctor take a look at it. But when it comes to relational dynamics, when it comes to ministry in the church, we need to address those situations. I'm very thankful for our board at Merit Assembly of God, our deacon board. We do not have an acrimonious relationship. There's not any hostility. There is a tremendous unity in our leadership team. It doesn't mean that everybody thinks the same way. I don't want people surrounding me that are just yes people. I want to surround myself with people who are smarter than I am. I want to surround myself with people of faith. I want to surround myself with people who can solve problems. I have a pastor friend that, you know, he has said before, he said, I surround myself with people who are smarter than I am, and then I get out of the way. And he pastors a very, very large church, got a tremendous heart for missions. He said, I surround myself with people smarter than I am, and then I get out of the way and let them do what they're good at. That's what he, and then I focus on doing what I'm good at. And I knew one of his staff people, and when he had gone to work for him, he went and was talking to the pastor, and the pastor looked at him and said, if I have to tell you how to do your job, then one of us is unnecessary. You know, there doesn't need to be this cookie cutter mindset. So, you know, there may be differences of opinions. There may be a provoking of one another to good work. So you've got these people who are coming into this relationship with Christ. Obviously, they have been very faithful. They have found their way into a semi-leadership position, if not a leadership position. And all of a sudden, what's taken place in Acts chapter 10 doesn't line up with the same old way of thinking that they brought into their new relationship with Jesus Christ. And so when Peter gets back, they confront him and says, you went in and to uncircumcised men and you ate with them. You violated the old way of doing things. By the way, I will tell you this. God is interested in raising the bar, not lowering the bar. When the new covenant in the New Testament, it put all of the work aspect of salvation upon Jesus. He came and fulfilled the law and the prophets. He did all of that. He fulfilled all righteousness. But because of what he has done, we now owe him everything that we have. Before, there were just some gifts that were offered to people, or that were offered to God by people. But now God says, it is no longer you that live, but Christ who lives in you. And so they confront Peter, and Peter begins to explain to them everything that had happened, what God had told him, how he had gone, how he had ministered with other brethren with him. And by the way, at that point in time, it's great to have a number of other witnesses. This was before people had iPhones and could just video record it. By the way, I'll just give this little tip to you. This has no scriptural value whatsoever. But one of my daughters was having a car problem here not too long ago, and I don't know if you've ever seen the commercial where the people are trying to describe the sound that their air conditioning is making or their car is making, and I told my daughter, I said, well, the next time something like that happens, I just encourage you, take out your phone and begin to record the sound that it is making, because mechanics recognize sounds and a lot better. They recognize the authentic, genuine sound that the vehicle is making more than what I can adequately describe it. And so I just encourage you that if you've got a problem, now you've got that tool where you can record the sound and you can take it to your mechanic and say, this is what it was doing at such and such a time. So anyway, just a little tip for you that you can choose to use or not use. It's free. If you don't like it, you know, double your money back. So, so anyway, Peter says, I've got these six brethren that have accompanied me, and we went in, and this guy told us how an angel had happened. And then he says that what God had told him, what the angel had told him was, Peter will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. All of a sudden, now we are not talking about eating and drinking with the wrong type of people. Now we have shifted what is actually taking place to people's lives being transformed. That is what the church is all about. We are not just a social club. We are not just a meeting hall. We are not just a place where we can come and hang out with the right class of people. It is about life transformation. And so he says here in Acts chapter 11, those exact words are not used in Acts chapter 10, but that what Cornelius and everybody there were expecting was for Peter to tell them how to be saved. Remember, I told you the things that Peter taught. He told them what God had shown him, what he had perceived. He told them about Jesus' ministry, told them what the prophets had testified, and told them what God had commanded him, that there was a day of accountability that was coming. And there was a miracle that took place in the heart of Cornelius and all those in that household where they said yes to Jesus' offer of salvation. And so Peter said, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Peter had been at the day of Pentecost, you remember. He's the one who gave that first sermon. And he said what God did for them in Cornelius' house is exactly what God did for us on the day of Pentecost. And I'm not supposing that. I'm not guessing. I was an eyewitness to both accounts. And he said, and when I saw what God had done, he said, then I remembered what God had said, that John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse number 17, if therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? So let me say this first of all. I believe that the day is coming when God is going to be doing incredibly exciting things in our midst, and it is going to remind people about the Word of God. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, as he begins to move, he's going to be guiding people back into alignment with the Word of God. I am so, how do I want to say this? I'm disturbed by the trend that I see taking place in America right now, where we are setting aside the Word of God, trying to make ourselves more comfortable and compatible to the society around us, when the Holy Spirit is actually wanting to do a transformative work, not a comforting work. Listen, when he transforms us, it is going to bring comfort to our life, because we are not going to have the misery and the heartache and the disappointment, the discouragement, the wounds that come from the death style that is the world. And so here Peter says, all of a sudden, I remember that God, or that Jesus had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I pray that this week, that as you are going through your experiences, when you're at church and you're worshiping, I pray that the Holy Spirit ministers in such a way that all of a sudden you're going to remember sermons that you heard maybe 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. All of a sudden, you're going to remember scriptures that you just read. All of a sudden, you're going to realize that that word that you got in your private devotional time, it wasn't just for you. It was designed for you to share with someone else. And so Peter goes on. He says, once the Holy Spirit reminded me of the scripture, he says this, if God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? Okay. Now I'm going to read that verse again, and I want you to focus on which word it happens in a number of different tenses and senses here, but it's the same primary root word, and it happens three times. It's an action word. It's not a noun. And so I'm going to read verse 17, Acts 11:17. It says, if therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? Three times in that passage of scripture, there is reference to the act of giving. In verse 17, it says, if therefore God gave the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord, you'd get that? If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another reference that is a noun that's not an action verb, and it describes the person who's doing the giving. If therefore God, there's one, gave them the same gift as he, there's two, gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, there's three, who was I that I could withstand God, there's four. And what Peter is describing is that God is the one who initiated the act. It was a gift when Peter and the disciples received it, received salvation. It was a gift when they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It was a God-given gift to them. And Peter describes that the same God who imparted that gift to them had also imparted that gift to these Gentiles. I want you to know that God truly is no respecter of persons. He really is a person who shows no partiality. And so I just encourage you today that God is a giver. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is a giver. Today, he was just not a historic giver in the book of Acts. He is a contemporary giver for you right now. And I just want to encourage you that if you have never received God's gift of eternal life, today, all you got to do is admit that you are a sinner, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart, that Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, went to the cross, died on the cross, and was raised again to newness of life on the third day, and that he has forgiven you of your sins, and you want him to be the Lord of your life. Would you like to receive that gift right now? Let's pray. It's a great way to begin a weekend. A free gift on a Friday. Eternal life. Father, right now, we admit our need of Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Thank you for this indescribable gift. And I pray, God, that every one of us will be thankful for what you've done, not only in us, but in others as well. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you.